You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kane.
Kane, the hair is down, the sunnies are on, I'm ready for the playoffs!
You're channeling your Brooks, right? Brooks, like the worst player in the playoffs.
My hometown boy from Mississauga, Ontario.
such a mean guy, kind of defies the Canadian stereotypes, right?
Not even just a mean guy, like the way that he dresses, the attitude. I grew up right outside of Toronto, and I went to school in Toronto. I lived in Toronto for many years. I know Mississauga very well, and I gotta tell you, I've never seen this type of person or fashion in Mississauga when I was there.
You might have to look, because, you know, like a lot of NBA players in their youth go to America to start to, you know, train and get better and things. So he probably went to an American school and got used to American culture, habits and stuff, like, and lost his Canadian roots. He's up there in the Canadian players, right? We've got Jamal Murray, we've got Dylan Brooks, we've got Shea, we've got Wiggins, we've got Dort. It's a solid team, right?
RJ Barrett.
I don't know about RJ Barrett.
Be respectful. Starting. I guess like a lot of the players choose not to play. Otherwise, like you said, I feel like Canada's got a really solid team.
They got a solid team, for sure. They will beat Australia. Like, Australia came third last time. And I would assume they beat Lithuania just because it's just Luka and... Is it Lithuania? No, Slovenia. Slovenia. They'll beat Slovenia. Slovenia came second last time.
Let's get back to the NBA. Kane, we just watched the Lakers and the Grizzlies. The Lakers won up 3-1 now. Any thoughts?
Ooh. Okay, I think also it's good to reference our picks. So we both got we both had seven games, and I picked the Grizz to pull out 7, and you had the Lakers to pull out 7. Look, I honestly think if the Lakers do not win Game 5, it could go to Game 7. Like, I think the momentum is that real. And to be honest, the Lakers are better than the Grizzlies, I have to admit. I always said that I think the Lakers are not a true 7 seed, and the Grizz are not a true 2 seed. Like, I thought it was, like, pretty close, but I thought the Grizz with... I don't know, like, just the youth and the way they play together and all the question marks on the Lakers, like being a new team and like inconsistencies, and like they have to play between a good Schroeder game or bad D'Lo game or vice versa. And LeBron, you know, has to do everything, and AD is an injury waiting to happen. I thought like all these things would just work in the Grizzlies' favor, but like, look, 3-1 up, like that's pretty much it. Like, what is the chances? What is historically the chances of a 3-1 team coming back? It's like, I think they saw the stat. It was like 90% of the time the 3-1 team up is going to advance. So this will be historic if the Grizzlies can pull it off in 7. But, you know, if they do, they're not, you know, I win my pick and, you know, I go down the history books, right?
Wait, you go down the history into the history books?
They'll put the, like, my name in there instead of the Grizzlies.
Kane, big boy pick.
How are you liking Lakers?
I picked the Lakers in 7, but
it's a good pick.
I was not confident.
I thought it was a good pick. Like, I didn't have the balls to do it because I just assumed the Grizzlies would pull it off. But yeah, I complimented your pick. I think the Lakers had every chance to win the series.
I'm not sure how intelligent that pick was. I have to be honest with you. When it comes to some of these picks, I get a little bit emotional sometimes, okay?
It's more of a pick with the heart, not with the brain.
Exactly.
A pick with the dick.
And I know that the Grizzlies had injuries. I know that the last month and a half of their season
was
a little bit complicated. But at the same time, this was still the number 2 seed. And, you know, the Lakers for the last month was like just battling and battling, trying to get into the play-in tournament. I'm not even talking about the playoffs. Like, playoffs? I'm trying to win a game. A game. Playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. I it still burns my mind that Wolves-Lakers play-in game. It's like probably the worst playoff-ish game I've ever seen in my life. Like, who wants to win it? Do you want to win it? No, I don't want to win it.
Apparently, Anthony Towns' balls and dick is still on the floor somewhere there. Someone go look for it. Is it in Lost and Found in the Staples Center? Raptor Arena.
And what's his name? Oh, I always forget his name. It's not Jared Vanderbilt. It's the other guy. I always get them confused. What's McDaniels?
Jaden McDaniels.
His fucking knuckles are like still lodged in the tunnel. The Lakers are, to me so far, the superior team. And whether they can continue this level of play, like, it was not great. Like, let's be honest. Like, they haven't played like superb. They've been pretty lucky in some spots where they've caught fire. The Grizzlies have had good, decent leads, and then the Lakers come back to win, and vice versa. Like, Lakers had this massive lead, and the Grizzlies kind of made it a bit close in game three. So they've been good. They've been good enough, I think. And maybe that's just enough to get past the Grizzlies. So, like you said, are injured. They're having inconsistent performances. Brooks got ejected from one game. It just hasn't been pretty from both. It hasn't been pretty from both teams, but the Grizzlies are like a lot less pretty.
Right. I think I agree with that. In some ways, this is the opposite of the Warriors and Sacramento Kings series, which is so competitive, so spot on.
The thing I said like at the beginning of the series is like AD has to be it. He has to be the best player. But you know what? Reeves has been like the man. And actually, I think this might be a good idea. Let's talk about the key player in each series. And to me, it's obviously Bron, but that's like a no-brainer. I think the second best player in the series, like as in like if I had to say, is Austin Reeves. He's come up clutch in so many moments. He is just such a smooth, efficient, professional scorer. Like if you give him a bit of space, he's going to hit it. He's so good. He's like Lakers got to resign him. That's all I got to say. Lakers better resign him because they don't have many of these like type of scorers on their roster that can just like score at will. Like if you kind of give him some space. I'm not saying like he can just like go nuclear and like go 40 and just like kill everyone, but you give him a little bit of space, he'll make it work. Like he's slippery enough to get past for a layup or generate enough space to hit a two-point shot. Like he's very, very productive and good.
He's a stabilizing force. That's good for...
Yes, that's it.
15 points. It's good for bailing you out.
Some defensive plays as well. Like just sometimes just possessing the ball. You know, like sometimes the ball is like all slippery around. It's like a 50-50 ball. It's like slipping all over the court. Like sometimes Austin Reeves is the guy that ends up, you know, in the right place, right time to get those balls, you know. And it's not just coincidence because I think he's got a good IQ. He's not strong. He's not the strongest. He's not the biggest. Obviously, it's not the fastest. But he just knows where to put his body and get things done like for his team. So, yeah, he's gonna get a good contract.
Yeah, I agree. Like that's priority like, number one.
It'll be crazy if they don't resign him.
Okay, so you picked Austin Reeves. Who else you got?
I mean, Jaren Jackson, even though he's not scoring many points.
Why are you laughing?
I feel like you want me to
go angle. Ahead. Go ahead. Defensive player of the year.
What? What? AD?
AD is averaging about 4 blocks this series.
AD is doing his job. I think Jaren Jackson is doing a really good job in the paint, but I think the guy you want to talk about is Dylan Brooks.
The goat.
The goat. Your neighbor.
My neighbor, Dylan Brooks, okay? The goat.
Has he played well enough to get a contract extension from the Grizzlies?
This is difficult because a month ago, I had no idea who Dylan Brooks was. I've never heard of this guy's name. Maybe I've heard of the name, but I have no recollection of his game or what he looks like. And now my world is Dylan Brooks. When I close my eyes, I see Dylan Brooks.
When you found out he's Canadian as well.
I'm now adjusting my appearance to look like Dylan Brooks, especially the hair, the long hair down, sunnies indoors, and a big puffer jacket look. I'm liking that a lot. I have to say, a part of me may be sexually attracted to Dylan Brooks at this point. Okay?
It's good that you come out and say that, yeah.
I'm not ashamed to say it. So I can't be 100% unbiased when you ask me should they sign Dylan Brooks, because I do like the energy. I do like the toughness. I do like the clown show that comes with Brooks, I feel like it's a little bit of Lance Stephenson, okay? A great defensive player, but if you're not attracted to Dylan Brooks, all the other stuff about Dylan Brooks that I'm attracted to, then how do you value that asset? And I have heard, I did a little bit of digging in my deep research of Brooks. And at the trade deadline this year, the Grizzlies were floating him around, trying to get something back. And as we know, he is also a free agent and now has some notoriety because of this series.
Might have cost them the series, like first round exit, potentially.
Like, to me, I feel like he's upgraded his visibility in a good way somehow, or maybe I'm just delusional. Someone that wants like a Patrick Beverley, but more skilled and tougher and taller than Patrick Beverley.
Well, Patrick Beverley is like a minimum contract player. Like,
okay.
Unless Dylan Brooks is willing to accept like a little bit more than a minimum. I don't know if he's worth 60, 70 mil, or like, you know, a player of his age, of his notoriety, as you mentioned, probably should receive. He's not like a scorer. He's a good defensive, he's a really good defensive player. But I don't think he's that good that, you know, he deserves like some huge contract. It's tough. I think the Grizzlies are well coached enough to win regular season games. And that's why they've been like really good in the regular season since Ja's ascent into superstardom. But the playoffs, they've come short. And you have to look at this team and you got to say, two seasons in, this team has not achieved anything that we've expected them to. And we got to look inwards and say, like, who are the players that we can, or what are the spots on this team that we can improve at? And I think center, they're pretty good. Jaren Jackson, even Tillman, and they got Brandon Clark, who's injured. Steven Adams is there as well. I don't know how much longer his contract is. But they got a lot of bigs on that team. They need more wing depth, basically. I don't know a single... they brought in Luke Kennard. Like, seriously, I don't even know who the wing players are.
Desmond Bane.
He's not a wing player.
He's not a wing player. What is he?
Well, he's like a shooting guard, but like he doesn't like really play on the wing, considering he's got like these T-Rex arms, as you like to call them. I just think like Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane don't like they're good, and maybe like Bane is the best shooter and Dylan Brooks is like okay, but like they're not really guys that can stretch the floor, can like glide around, can dunk. They need like a Vanderbilt sort of guy. Like, I'm just saying, like as like a guy that can fill, because I think that's why they got like Kennard and you know, they're playing Roddy a lot of minutes, even though like Roddy is like a facsimile of Dylan Brooks in like height, size, braids, face shape, skin color.
You're complaining to me about that.
Like doppelganger. I'm like seeing them like side by side. Like, I was like, is this Roddy or is this Brooks? And like now I learned all about Roddy because he's playing so many minutes because they don't have like a proper, like the NBA is all about wings these days, and the Grizzlies, as good as they are, like don't have like that 6'7" strong skinny wing that can just like gazelle down the court and dunk it on anyone sort of thing on a fast break. Like, obviously they can all dunk and obviously they're fast enough, but it's just Ja is that guy that can sky up and dunk on anybody, but they don't have like these 6'7" dudes that can do it with ease.
So on the Lakers side, let me ask you the tough question: what do they do with D'Lo this summer? Be objective.
Well, be objective? All right. Okay. No problem. I've always been an objective guy.
When it comes
on D'Angelo Russell, former Nets all-star, Nets great. It was so tantalizing that forced Devin Booker onto a boat and
made him wear jersey. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
His jersey, like a... So, D'Lo... Well, he's on his last year of his contract, right? He's unrestricted, yeah? Like, when he was playing really well when he got traded to LA, I was thinking, like, okay, he's playing really well. He's looking like a third... He looks like a solid third star. I would probably give him something less than 100 mil, like, and then 90 mil. I think it's fair. Like, a 3-4 year, $90 million deal, I think it's, like, pretty fair because it's, like, the salary cap is only going to go higher, and that's going to take a small... percentage of the team salary cap going forward, and 90 mil is like nothing when Hero and Poole, guys like similar ilk in my opinion, are getting paid like over $120 million. So I think like 90 would be a bargain for him. But
about now.
He struggled. And I think any amount of money they give to D'Lo means like they won't have any chance of signing like any other star. Like if they really wanted Kyrie, for example, if they really wanted to sign Kyrie, that would be off the table if they re-signed Reeves to a big deal and D'Lo to a big deal.
Let me make it easier for you because you seem to be struggling with this question. Let's say take out the Lakers. Let's expand the field. What can D'Lo expect from the market this summer?
He's lost some money. But then again, he did just make some more money just like in his last game. I would say given his age, he should get at least 60
Jesus.
Mil.
Jesus.
At least.
God.
At least. At least a 3 for 60. At least.
3 for 60. I would be that's 20 million.
20. Yeah, I would say about 20 million.
Okay, I can.
Yeah, maybe I don't know the years and stuff, but I would say he would be getting at least 17 plus a year. I average 17 plus.
I don't think he can go above 15 a year for D'Lo.
I think you're right too. I can sense that.
The playoffs has really exposed D'Lo in the sense that he is a streaky shooter. So on one hand, yes, you can make an argument that he did save the Lakers game and perhaps their season.
And
today,
terrible defensively as well.
But he was making so many terrible defensive plays and just boneheaded plays.
He's like a non-factor on defense. Like
he's worse than non-factor. Non-factor, you just stand there and let like he's literally like putting people in the penalty. Like there's one play when Jaren Jackson was like,
fair enough,
got D'Lo on an island. And instead of like just grabbing him with like both arms, D'Lo like try to like hold his hands or something. And fucking Jaren Jackson like just easy like dunk. And one. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. Like, put your arms around the guy.
Yeah.
Don't, like, hold his hands. You're trying to, like, put your hands in his pocket. There's no pockets in these shorts.
Yeah. Well, do you want him back?
I don't want him back. I hope he doesn't come back.
But if you sign Reeves and you sign Hachimura, because Hachimura's been playing pretty well, are you saying then that you just lose Russell for
yeah,
nothing?
Yeah, you lose him for nothing.
Because you can't replace him. You can't replace his salary, you know.
Okay, well, then I offer him $10 million for 4 years.
The worst is actually pretty interesting. But I think since we've spent so much time talking Grizz Lakes.
Kings, Warriors. This has been probably the best series so far. And now we've got a new wrinkle here. We learned that De'Aaron Fox will be out with a fractured finger, potentially out. It's doubtful. So perhaps they could put some sort of a spleen or something on his hand to help him, or at least on that finger, or tape the two fingers together. But regardless, he's going to be compromised. It's on his shooting hands. And at the same time, the series is tied 2-2. They're going back to Sacramento. The Warriors famously have been terrible away.
Game seven, baby. It's gonna go to game seven. And game seven is anyone's bet. Cause I don't care. I don't care that Warriors have been so inept away from whatever the Warriors home stadium is called.
Oracle.
I don't care that they're terrible from Oracle, but hey, it's game seven. These are the defending champions. If they know what it takes to win just one game, like this is where playoff experience actually counts. Like game one, game two, game three, shit happens, you know, like it's not always going to go your way. Just like Harrison Barnes hits that shot, it's 3-1. Like it just sometimes it doesn't go your way. And then you're down 3-1, you know, you can't predict that sort of thing. But game seven, balls in Steph's hand, balls in Klay's hand, Draymond is fucking hip checking everybody, slapping people's balls and stuff like that. Like
at least two balls are in Draymond's grasp at all times.
They're in the element because they've been through this, and nobody on the Kings except for Harrison Barnes, you know, for two seasons, with the Warriors, like has had that level of playoff experience and playoff intensity. So I think it's at minimum going to go to Game Seven. It's going to be Kings. Kings will do everything they can to win in six games, because I think they'll win game five, and then they have to win it at an Oracle, because I think game seven I gotta give it to the Warriors. And then you would pick it precisely because you picked the Warriors in seven. But I picked the Warriors in five games. So, you know, shows me like I didn't watch any Kings games, right? Don't know anything about the Kings. But De'Aaron Fox has been huge. So actually, I take that back because I just forgot. You said De'Aaron Fox is probably out for game five.
Probably out, but maybe he's not out. Maybe they can do something with the hand. It's a finger.
Remember Kobe? Remember Kobe had that like fractured finger? I'm not sure it was playoffs or not, but I remember he had like a splint.
What I'm saying.
But I think that was his... But it might have been his non-shooting hand that he had that. Like, I don't know if he would have gotten it if that was... Because it's literally his... I think for Fox, it's his shooting index finger, which is pretty important. It's pretty important.
Like, he's not going to score 30 because that would involve him shooting, let's say, three-pointers. I'm not sure if that's how possible that is anymore. But you can still have him on the floor in terms of facilitating, in terms of keeping the defense honest and just giving them different looks.
Because the bonus has not been that good. I think Draymond, who gets a lot of criticism for his antics on the court, has been excellent on defense against the bonus. Like, absolutely blank out, like, just... black him out sort of thing like that, like both physically and basketball wise. Like, he has been really good on defense against Sabonis, who is an all-star and probably 13 more NBA type of player. So Sabonis has to come up big. I mean, he's been good. He's been good in spots, but he hasn't been dominant like Fox has been, like scoring like, what did he score? Like 49 points last game.
It's really noticeable because Sabonis was probably their best player going into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Like, Fox is not a 30-plus point scorer. Like, I knew Fox is good, but not this good. And Sabonis all season has been really steady, really tough.
But that's why I underrate, because I watched Sabonis a lot in the Eastern Conference because, the Nets would versus the Pacers. And Sabonis would always have these games where he can't miss. He's too big. He's too strong. He just backs people up. He's too finesse, like, in the paint, like, getting, like, nice hook shots and stuff like that. And Fox was this guy that... it was the 10th best point guard in the league sort of thing. I wouldn't say like he's an all-star level point guard until the season. And that's why I underrated him so much, because I didn't watch any of the games. And Fox has showed me that he's fucking Jimmy Butler right now. Like, he's fucking killing it. Okay, we'll finish this Suns Clippers series, which is also pretty interesting. This West is pretty interesting. We usually talk about the East a lot, but... Kawhi Leonard out game two, game three, game four, and you just reported it to me. You just broke the news. He's going to be out game five as well with a sprained knee. I am no doctor, David, but it feels to me a sprained knee is probably not enough to make you miss three playoff games in a row. Well, what's your thoughts? I feel like you could play through it. Sprain knee.
Maybe he can play through it, but that has not been Kawhi's MO. His whole career at this point, his whole second half of his career has been load management, load management, load management.
But why are you load managing in the playoffs? You've been load managing.
This is the way that he sees himself prolonging his career, even though it isn't working.
I don't think it's prolonging his career, it's prolonging his life, like, which is good. Like, I commend him for not giving into the peer pressure and the trolls saying, like, don't be a pussy, just play a fucking basketball game that you've been paid hundreds of millions of dollars to do. But at the same time, I am one of those people. I'm like, I want to see Kawhi Leonard play, because when he plays, he's a fucking beast. And he was sensational MVP. Going down, like, Yeah, and he was probably the best player going into the playoffs, honestly. And
literally grabbing the ball out of KD's hands, not slapping it away like other players, okay? I'm talking about KD, two hands on the ball. Kawhi, give me that! Give me that mine! And running on a fast break and dunking it. Oh my God.
Well, that's how close they were to being 2-0 up, though, in the series. Like, if Kawhi could put in some games, I don't know. I don't want to lament on it so much, because I just feel like the Clippers have also been cursed with the superstars that they've brought in. Like, Paul George has always been injury prone, but to happen now in the playoffs, like, this is what the regular season is for, is to kind of fill it out, to get injured. But you got a team. You got a team of superstars that you can depend on, and Ty Lue can depend on when it comes. And the fucking two best players are out this basically the majority of the series. And they have to rely on Russell Westbrook. They just got here, like, two, like,
it was literally, like, probably already bought his plane ticket to China. And they have to,
when he got traded, just, like, fucking, like, get, like, stowed away in the Staples, in the crypto arena in the locker room. Like, no, I'm not coming out.
I'm not leaving. I'm not going to China.
And then he just gave him a fucking Clippers jersey.
2 months ago, Russell Westbrook was not going to get any sort of contract in the NBA. It was questionable whether he'll be back in the NBA next season, and now they have to play him like 45 minutes.
I mean, he's playing really well. He's actually hitting three-pointers. He's scoring like 26 points per game. I mean, game one, he was like skying for an offensive. He jumped jumped so high for the offensive rebound, just like snagged it out of the air. That's that athleticism just like, it just jumped out to me, like how athletic this dude is.
Still. He's still doing that. So in the last game and not all these games, he's still doing that. But the fact is, him doing that as your best player is just not efficient enough for you to win playoff games.
Oh, for sure. But it's not fair. Like, they built their entire roster around the like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They're not going to be able to, you know, scrap together enough good players if the two stars are out. Like, that's any team with stuff. Like, if Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are out for the Suns, like, we can't, like, pin it all on Chris Paul because he can't get it done. You know what I mean?
It's not a criticism of Russell Westbrook. It's more of just stating how cursed the Clippers are. That now, in this critical time, you have to rely on Russell Westbrook. And thank God he's like doing his best, right? He's giving you the full package of Russell Westbrook. But the fact that you have to rely on him when you thought what you signed up for was $300 million to get your two big stars to actually step up. But year after year, whether it's, you know, Paul George fucking scoring 0 points, Kawhi scoring 0 points in the fourth quarter, Paul George hitting the side of the backboard, to injuries after injuries after injuries, to now again, you know, for the past 2 years, Kawhi's been on this, like, I don't play during the regular seasons. I don't play in the back-to-back. I only play half of the game. And then when playoff time comes, like, the first, literally, like, within, like, the first two games, he injures himself, and now he's out. And at some point, you have to ask the question, if the guy that's saving himself for the moment, and as soon as the moment comes and he injures himself, you know, how much do you actually blame Kawhi? Or is it just the fact that we have to accept that his body is breaking down? This, he's not able to... When he's healthy, he's an MVP. But the body is saying no. If the body says no, like, 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row, I think you got to listen to it.
The matter of fact is that he's got two more years on his contract after the season, and he's going to be paid, like, whatever, like, $57 million a year. He'll be 34. Only 34. Like, it's not that old, like, when his contract is up. He could easily re-sign another contract if he plays the next two seasons at a, like, you know, decent amount of games played. He'll get, like, a pretty big contract again, because what else are the Clips going to do, right? But, like you said, three seasons now, he's been injured. He hasn't been able to be on the court. He hasn't been able to suit up when it's time to show up. And yeah, I think he's got to listen to his body. He's got to say, enough is enough. I'm a Hall of Famer. I've won two Finals MVPs with two different teams. I'm gonna go join the Brooklyn Nets. You know, that's it. I've been load managing my entire time, and I'm gonna sign with the Brooklyn Nets.
You can put his locker next to Ben Simmons.
two players. They're gonna give him like a jersey, like a number. Like, they just like paying him to like.
Instead of the Brooklyn Knight, why don't they make Ben Simmons their mascot? Just like wheel him out. Don't even dress him up.
wheel him. Well, he does dress up, doesn't he?
Wheel him out in the wheelchair. He's got back problems, apparently. Do you want to talk about Ben Simmons' back problems? No, what back problem does he have?
No, I don't. No, I don't want.
Because Sean Marks this week said that he doesn't need surgery.
You know what back problems are? He's got no problems. He's going to be back next season, 100%. That's the kind of back problems that I want to talk about.
He's back. The last thing we just got to quickly touch on before we go. I know we're over, but we got to talk about the Bucks. The Heat is up.
Maybe this is a quick aside because we can talk about the Bucks, but like, I mean, the Nets did get swept. Like, we got
we're talking about the playoffs right now.
Like, has gone through. Oh, sorry. That was a play in, right? That was basically the play in, right?
That was rude of me. Let me give your moment here. Kane, the Nets season is over.
It's good. Never talk about them again.
The Sixers had no. The only thing the Nets did was fucking like shit the bed, get themselves kicked out of the playoffs, and then injure Embiid so that the Celtics get a free pass to the finals. Congratulations! You should be proud of yourself.
The only two teams I don't want to advance is the Celtics and the Sixers. So yeah, no problem. Actually, I don't even hate the Knicks as much
really?
As the Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the Celtics stole all the Nets picks.
Do you have anything to say about the Nets? About, I don't know, their future? About what? How you feel about this season?
Look, it's become pretty clear to me that the Nets are star shopping. And they got draft picks. They got good quality players that contending teams want. With good contracts, Dorian Finney-Smith has got like $12.5 million average annual salary for like the next three seasons. Like that's one of the best contracts in the league. Mikal Bridges isn't getting paid $20 million, and he's scoring like 25 points per game.
Is he under contract?
Yeah, he's on the contract for the next three seasons. He's gonna get paid like $19, $20, $21 million.
This is a max player.
That's Jordan Poole money. for the production of like Kevin Durant, like no joke, it's like similar production.
I don't disagree.
Similar production to Kevin, like not as efficient, obviously, but yeah, similar production.
That's probably the best bargain in the league right now.
That's probably the best contract in the league. Not saying that they would give away Mikal Bridges, but for the right price, you know. And I wouldn't look so far as like, you know, what the Raptors are doing, saying like, or what the Hawks are doing, saying like. We're blowing it up. Like every player is on the trade block for our teams, except for Scottie Barnes, I presume for the Raps. So there could be some, you know, some losing team swapping going on to try to carry some flavor to kind of build a team to get the star player. And I think the star player on the market is Dame. And Dame was in Barclays Center on game three to watch his best friend Mikal Bridges
ball. I like that.
In losing effort, albeit. Can they entice Dame with enough other players to... Is it mean like you give two picks to the Raptors and Finney-Smith and... maybe Claxton or, you know, some other kind of players like, or Cam Thomas to get Pascal Siakam. And then can you package another three picks and, you know, whatever Joe Harris and what Ben Simmons and whatever other contracts can work to get Dame. Like, I'm just making this up, obviously. It's probably not fair to those teams, that compensation. But I think that is the arena Sean Marks, GM of the Nets, is going to have to operate in. What can I build from this team of wings and picks to get the star players I need to contend? Because if anything's clear, the Nets are like, hey, we're pretty good with this team, but we're going to be good enough to make the playoffs with this team. But I want to get into the upper echelon. And what can we do from, you know, the Hawks who are dismantling the team and the Raptors who are dismantling the team and also lost their head coach? What can we get from the Raptors? What can we get from the Hawks to then make it more appealing for like the star players to join this team? Maybe it's a Nick Nurse replacing Jacques Vaughn as the head coach. So I think there's some avenues for this team to get better. But at the same time, they could just stay put and just be the 7th, 8th seed again next season. And you just let it ride. Because these guys are young enough where the value's not going to be diminished by another, you know, 7th, 8th seed.
So what I'm hearing from you is you like the optionality. You see what's out there. You've got the assets. But if it doesn't work, you can still run it back.
So it could go the other way too, is what I'm saying. But I think the Nets without Mikal Bridges is going to suck,
right,
to be honest.
Right.
And they might be a bottom four team in the league, and the Rockets are going to get a good pick out of it. So you got to weigh that into consideration.
Last thing before we go, the Bucks are down 3-1.
So specifically on the Bucks, Giannis was out, and Jimmy Butler is. Let's just put it this way. I think when he woke up this morning, he left his hotel room with a big smile on his face. Because of...
And what did Rachel say to Jimmy before he left?
I don't know what he said, but she definitely gave him a really good lasting memory.
Before the series started, I thought the Bucks would sweep the Heat. Should I still be in the mindset of, okay, the Bucks need to win 3 in a row, but if I predict that they would have swept the series, no problem. They can still do this. Albeit, you know, no room for error, but definitely can do this. 3 in a row.
They have enough defensive talent to stop Jimmy. Like, Jimmy Butler's been amazing. I think they might need to switch Jrue Holiday off him because as great as a defensive player as Jrue Holiday is, he just gives up too much height on Jimmy Butler, who uses his size and strength and bullies Jrue Holiday in the paint. They might have to think about switching him with Giannis. I don't know how banged up Giannis is, but Giannis looked good. He had a triple-double this last game, game four, in losing effort. And Brook Lopez has been amazing. But I honestly think they've got to switch Giannis onto Jimmy Butler and just take Jimmy Butler out of the game. Because if Jimmy Butler is neutralized, they don't have Tyler Hero, and they have to rely on guys like Caleb Martin and Bam. God, Bam has been like just missing. Like, you're talking about Rudy or DeAndre Ayton missing. Like, man, Bam, as many looks as he gets, as many passes as he gets, he is not able to finish against Brook and Giannis. Like, it's impossible. It's such a tall order for him to do. So I feel like it's easy. I know that it's easy to do, but it's an easy game plan to do, like to make. Just stop Jimmy Butler with like whatever it takes. You can't let Jimmy Butler score. What did he score today? 50 points?
Got close to 60 points today.
Oof. I mean, he's averaging 36.5 points in this entire series. He has been, like, seriously, whatever he's getting in his hotel room late at night, it's good for the soul, is all I'm saying. He scored 56 points today.
Jesus Christ.
56 points, nine rebounds, on 67.9% field goal percentage. He's not missing, basically.
So where do you see the series? Give me your pick here.
At this point, it seems like it's unlikely that Heat will lose. Like we said, 3-1 up. It's overwhelmingly likely that the Heat are gonna win.
Wow.
But okay, if I have to make a bold prediction, I think the Bucks are still gonna win. I think it's that type of series. I think the Bucks are gonna win 3 in a row. That's
my
prediction.
Wow. Okay, Kang, we've been talking way too long. It's been definitely an exciting week. The next time we talk...
It's been a great... Even though it's like mostly 3-1s and 1-4-0. Like, it's been some... Yeah, it's been really intense. It's been a really enjoyable first round. I don't think the Bucks are bowing out. Like, you know what I mean? They're not giving up. If Giannis is healthy, Giannis has got to take on. He's got to take on the challenge.
Who's the Bucks GM? They need to offer Rachel Nichols a job ASAP. Give her a job immediately.
She can be the head coach.
You can be the head coach. We need you at practice.
That was a dirty joke, by the way.
Okay. This is so much disrespect.
Just in case you missed it. I assumed him.
So much disrespect, okay. Oh, that's really bad. Okay. Until next time, dear listeners.
Are we getting canceled?
I don't know. I'm not getting canceled. You're getting canceled. Until next time. All right. Goodbye.
Lisa Torres on the beat, boys.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.